That hymn goes well with this message. Well chosen. Go back to 1 Samuel now. I'm going to give you a little pre-sermon on the first verse. I think it will be a blessing to you. This whole message should be a great comfort. Look at verse 1 with me. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zoph, and Ephrathite. A certain man. We've seen that many times in the scriptures, haven't we? Every believer and every saint is a certain man, a certain woman, most certainly chosen by God. And no believer's life is insignificant. No believer's life is insignificant. Listen carefully, would you? This will be your comfort. No believer's life is insignificant. The lives of all believers are interrelated and work together, work perfectly together to fulfill God's purpose. You see, God wrote a book called the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And all of God's people were entered into that book before they were born. Everything about them was put in that book. Their whole lives were written in that book. Where they were to be born, when, how old they would grow to be, whether or not they would be married, whether or not they would have children, who their children would be, what their children would, when their children would be born, where, whether or not they would grow up, who they would marry, and so on and so forth. Every single child of God is written in the book of life. David said this. He said, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That's talking about the womb. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." The book of life. And the fact we need to consider when we get to feeling like we are of no value and no purpose whatsoever, insignificant in the grand scheme of things, the fact we need to consider is you and I may be living to serve the greater purpose of someone else, like Elkanah. He's just an ordinary man. Just a plain old ordinary man. Not much is said about this man. Just a plain ordinary man. God gave him an extraordinary son. But he served well the purpose God had given him. So did his wife. As I said, now listen carefully. You and I may be living to serve a greater purpose for someone else. Let me give you a modern-day illustration. A man years ago named Gerald and his wife Marion. That ring a bell to anybody? They had sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Who had sons and daughters? One of those sons had a daughter. And she, in turn, had a daughter. And perhaps that daughter will someday marry a man, and they will have a child. It might be, well, you don't know what it might be. It might be the last elect sheep on this planet before Christ comes. Now, wouldn't that be something? Would you, by the way, Gerald and Marion are the grandparents of this Hannah. And would you be content to bear, to be the great-great-grandmother of the last elect sheep on the planet? What a high honor. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't know. We don't know. We just don't know. Our lives may seem plain, ordinary, even mundane, but we need to be faithful where we are, what we're doing. God is using us for His purpose. Did you hear that? Elkanah. After this, you never hear from him again. He was just a faithful man, a faithful father, a faithful husband. Faithful. Faithful believer. A faithful believer. And a few things. A certain man, he was a Levite. That was in God's purpose, but a Levite. He was from Mount Ephraim, a town called Ramathaim Zophim. And it makes me so glad for towns like Rocky Mount. Our name, Henry, easy. John, Joe, Gabe, one syllable names. Ron, Matt, Roy, just one syllable names are good. At any rate, he's from this Mount Ephraim, the town of Ramathaim Zophim. And this is a place about, and I'm going to give you a biblical illustration of how our lives are interrelated, okay? He's from this town, Ramathaim Zophim, which is about 18 miles northwest of Bethlehem. Okay? He has two wives. And down in Bethlehem, now turn back one page. You know what is back one page? Book of Ruth. Down in Bethlehem, there's a man named Boaz. Who he and his wife, they just get married. Ruth. Boaz and Ruth. And the Lord gives them a child. The Lord gives them a child. His name is Obed. About the same age as Elkanah. Boaz is about the same age as Elkanah. Obed, born about the same time as Elkanah's son is. Well, in a few short years, their family's going to meet. They're going to get together. They haven't known each other till now, 18 miles apart. In just a few short years, the son of Elkanah is going to go down to Bethlehem and going to meet Obed's grandson, the king of Israel. All interrelated. Boaz and Ruth are doing what they're doing, being faithful where they're at. Elkanah and Hannah, being faithful where they're at. God's using them all. And you see, but they're serving the purpose, and their purpose is no less than David sitting on the throne. He wouldn't have got there if Boaz hadn't been true to what he was doing. See that? Look at here. I don't have to read it to you, but it says, Boaz, verse 13, took Ruth. Ruth 4:13. Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. He went into her. The Lord gave her conception. You see that? She bare a son. And down in verse 17, they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. And that's another story. But they're all together. They're all related. All right? Now keep that in mind. Do not despair of your life as if it were useless. Now I'm talking to saints here. I'm talking to believers. I'm not saying what they're saying out there. Telling everybody how much God needs you. But God's people are serving His purpose. Be faithful where you are. You're serving God's purpose, God's kingdom, and someday you will rejoice in what the Lord did through you at the very time you were totally unsuspecting of what was going on, but the Lord was using you to bring about that end. Can you marvel at that? We will someday. We'll look back and thank the Lord for having put us where He put it, with whom and how and where and so forth. Yes, we will. All things work together for good. To them that love God, that's God's people, who are the called according to His purpose. The end of that message. Okay? Or do you want to go home? Is that good enough? Elkanah was a faithful husband and father, and he was a diligent worshiper, a godly man. A godly man. Look at verse 3. Well, 2 and 3. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah had no children. Elkanah's only fault was that he was polygamy? God never did sanction that. Man did that. I don't know why. I do know why God allowed it in this situation. And we'll see that in a moment. At any rate, Peninnah, the one wife, had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly, as God commanded the people to do. That yearly sacrifice that the high priest would make. He would go yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Faithful, diligent worshiper, a godly man. Did what he was called to do. He worshiped the Lord. He knew the Lord. It says the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests of the Lord, were there. In other words, whenever Elkanah and Hannah went to Shiloh, these two were in charge there, Hophni and Phinehas. Now, why the Lord meant at this point, I really don't know. Those of you who know the story know that these two were bad men. Bad men. Why the Lord brought this up then, I don't know. I can only speculate. I can only say that perhaps the Lord is showing us how that He preserves His true saints in spite of bad men. And the perseverance of the saints. He had two wives. Now this is the type. Here's the type. Here's why I believe he had two wives, and here's who they represent. Two wives. This man represents Christ, who has two wives, seemingly. The church is made up of true believers and those who seem to be believers. That's right. Our Lord, there are sheep and goats in the world. There are wheat and tares. Our Lord said there must be heresies among you, talking to the believer, the church. There must be heresies among you. That's what He said. That they which are approved might be made manifest or revealed to be clearly God's people. It's always been that way. I remember when the disciples wanted to, the story of wanting to pull up the tares. The Lord said, no, let them both grow together. The Lord will do that. The Lord will do that. But the church, true church, is made up of true believers and those who are that in name only. Like Peninnah. That's what this represents. Look at verse 4 and 5. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. He gave things. He gave material things to her. He gave her possessions. What did he give Hannah? Well, not only possessions. Look at verse 5. Unto Hannah, he gave a double portion. A double. Worthy means double. But now, look at it. It says, and to Hannah, he gave a double portion, for he loves Hannah. Now, he not only gave her things, but he gave her himself. See, he loved her. It made it clear here. He didn't say he loved Peninnah, did he? She was his wife in name only, legally. You know, all men belong to the Lord. He's the Lord over the dead and the living. They all belong to him. All souls are mine, he said. But who really belongs to the Lord? He says he knows his people. He knows them lovingly. But he said other men, he knows them what? Afar off. Afar off. Keeps them at arm's length. The rest of them, he snuggles up with it. He's chosen. Can he not he do with his own what he will? Certainly. But he gives his people. Isaiah 40 says, she hath received, that is, the church, God's people, of the Lord hand double. God's people receive double. Not only good things, but all the goodness of God. Everything that He is. They receive not only mercy, but love. And not only grace, but my. The Lord loves His own. And are loved by Him. Hannah loved Elkanah, it's obvious. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 5. The Lord had shut up her womb. Now, one more point I want to make along this line. Elkanah gave to Penina things. And you know Hannah's prayer in the next chapter. She's the one that says, the Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. Didn't you? That's what she prayed. The Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. He gives to all. He's the one that gives it all. Though he may use Satan, and Satan has some, you know, something in God's purpose to be able to give these things. Remember when he tried to tempt the Lord with the kingdoms of the world? He said, that power has been given unto me. So, at any rate, ultimately, it's the Lord that gives us that. Right? Sometimes it's a test, trial, to see which do you want. These things? Me. That's a tough one. And only God's true people. You remember the story of Mephibosheth and Ziba? Huh? The last part of the story? When David came back and he told Ziba and Mephibosheth to divide everything up, there was an argument. And Mephibosheth said, let him have it all. I want you. So that's a test, isn't it? That the Lord, you know, maketh rich. And the religions of this world, Penina here represents false believers, professors of religion, professing Christians. The religions of this world are rich, aren't they? Rich. Religion is rich. Look around you. They can't build these buildings fast enough or big enough. I was talking to somebody, I think it was Gabe the other day. We were talking about building. This thing of building is fresh on my mind. The costs are just mine. And to buy a prime piece of property on 220 and erect one of these 10,000 square foot buildings costs a fortune. But they're rich. Religion is big money in religion. And they take that. They take that as that prosperity is a sign of God's favor. Did Penina have God, Elkanah's love? His true favor? Sounded like he was just kind of buying her off. You know, true riches. What are true riches? Spiritual riches. The unsearchable riches of Christ. He's that pearl of great price. You remember the story, a man was seeking goodly pearls. Many, plural. He found one pearl that satisfied all his longing. And the unsearchable riches of Christ, religion is devoid of that. Now, Hannah, he gave a double portion. and with God's people, we received the Lord's hand double. And Hannah means favored. The name means favored. That's what the name means. Favored of the Lord. And if you have received this double portion from the Lord, mercy and grace, forgiveness and love, you've been highly favored among women, among professing believers. And the greatest thing of all is His love and His grace. And the one had children. Peninnah had children, many. All her sons and her daughters. She had many. She had a bunch. And Hannah had none. Do you see what that represents? Clearly, religion has many offspring. While the true church seems very small, doesn't it? Seems almost unfruitful. It's always been the case. You know that? It's always been the case. They probably said to Noah, "Is that the biggest crowd you can attract, Noah? Why don't you build a fancier building? Who's going to come into that square box? Who's going to come worship in that plain, ordinary place? You and your family? Is that it? You can't be right and everybody else wrong, Noah." That sound familiar? Huh? They probably told Lot. Lot? Now we worship God. We're sincere. Your God's not the only God. Our God loves us. Lot. Our God loves us. Your God's hard. Your God's too strict. God of wrath? Judgment? We don't believe in a God like that, Lot. Get out of here. Sound familiar? Well, as in this case, the one child that Hannah was given was worth many sons. This one child that Hannah was given was called absolutely a miracle child, was it not? It's obvious that the Lord did this. It's obvious that the child that He gave Hannah was of the Lord. A miracle child. A child of His sovereign power. Sovereign grace given to her of the Lord. She had nothing to do with it. The Lord gave this child to her. So it is with every child of God. They are clear objects of His sovereign saving grace. Manifestations of His sovereign saving grace. All sons of promise. You know, all God's people are sons of promise. That's what Romans 9 says, that the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Not the children of the flesh. Not the children of man's making. Sons of Abraham. Neither because they're sons of Abraham are the children of Israel. Ishmael wasn't. That was a child of the flesh, wasn't it? Abraham and Sarah and Hagar got together and decided to make them a child. And people all the time decide to make themselves Christians. It's who the Lord makes a child. The sons of promise, they're counted for the seed. Just like Isaac, just like Jacob, just like Samuel, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So this one son was a son of promise. Look at verse 6. It says her adversary provoked her sore. That is Peninnah. Peninnah ridiculed her barrenness. As if Peninnah had something to do with her fruitfulness. As if Peninnah was responsible for having all these children. What's wrong with you, Hannah? Can't you have children? I can't. Look at all my children I've had. What's wrong with you? Aren't you trying hard enough? Sure, Hannah was trying. She wanted children. But who gives children? Huh? Who decides when a life is brought into this world? Well, she persecuted and ridiculed Hannah's barrenness, and the world scoffs at
The true church always has and always will. How many do you have? That's always the question. Isn't that always the first question? How many? I used to catch myself kind of apologizing. Well, I've since learned that, boy, if there's five righteous, if there's five righteous, 10 righteous, John, is that right? 10 righteous, he'll not destroy the place. I happen to believe there's at least 10 righteous in here, so Rocky Mount stands. Right? Quit apologizing. Would you marvel and glory and thank the Lord for just a few? Where two or three are gathered in His name. That's plenty. Huh? How many you got? How much? How many? How much? Brother Scott Richardson used to say, it sounds like we're running cattle. How many? How much? You turn with me quickly to Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. You know, the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. The Lord had. Literally, Hannah had no children. She was barren. The Lord did this. The Lord did this. Children can be both a blessing, can be either a blessing or a curse. You know that? Certainly you know that. Job had many. And I don't think any of them were children of God. You know the story. Job was fretful for him. He was praying for him. He was offering sacrifices for him. He said maybe they, and they were out partying in a tent. The Lord killed them all. And Job cursed the day he was born. He says, I wish I'd never been born. I wish I'd never had children for the sorrow that they caused me. That's right. But, later on, the end was better than the beginning, wasn't it? Luke 23, our Lord tells this story in Luke 23:28-29. Says the Lord turning to said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bear, the paps which never gave suck. A call for the mountains to, and this happened. This is not talking about a future event. This is talking about something that actually happened when Jerusalem was downtrodden and people, two were in the field, one was taken, one was not, and so forth. And it was horrible. The persecution such as never had come on this earth. That's what the Lord said would happen in Matthew 24. It happened. And women saw their children and wished they'd never had. That's what that's saying. So, you know, they can be a blessing or a curse. And so don't fret. Either way, whichever it be, it's of the Lord. Whether you have them or have them not. And how they turn out, it's of the Lord. And go look back to our text. That doesn't exclude us from doing what we're told to do, though, does it? We're going to see that in a moment in Hannah. Verses 7 and 8 in our text. And as he did so year by year, Elkanah, he went up to the house of the Lord, and Hannah went with him, and Peninnah too. And Peninnah provoked or ridiculed Hannah, and Hannah wept and did not eat. She fasted. And then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Now you know surely who that's talking about, don't you? Huh? And those of us, those of you who have troubles and sorrows and heartaches and family and with children, without children, or whatever it may be, is not Christ better to you than all things combined? Huh? No matter what your lot is not the lot, the lines have fallen unto you in pleasant places if you belong to the Lord. If you have His love, you're highly favored. Your name is Hannah. All of you. Everyone in here is named Hannah. If you're loved by the Lord, no matter what happens in your life, your children, whatever, no children, you're highly favored. Is it not? That's the test. Is that not the test? Wouldn't you rather have Christ than all things beside? Huh? And we're going to see in a moment how that Samuel, it's going to be hard for me not to say Sammy. Samuel. That's what I call you, Samuel. Samuel was worth the wait. Samuel was better for Hannah than 10 or 15 sorry sons or daughters. And let me say this. I'd rather have 10 church members, 10 sheep, true sheep, than 10,000 so-called church members. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd rather have... my pastor preached a message one time, and he said, I'm not looking for church members. Good. You know, and then we want people to come here, don't we? Sure we do. We're on the radio and we talk to whoever we can, and we want people to come. Sure we do. We want people to hear the gospel. We want people to believe. There's nothing that would make me happier, really, than in the Lord to send great revival in this little town of Rocky Mount, starting with a German Baptist. I'd love to see a flock of those people come out from under bondage. Wouldn't they rejoice? Wouldn't that be wonderful to see those people set free? The women in particular. See the men cower for a little while with fear over their self-righteousness. But in spite of that, no matter what we want great revival, yet we're not going to cease from doing what we know the Lord has commanded us to do. One thing. Preach the gospel. That's it. Like we've been studying the Exodus. We were. How that we're supposed to do all things according to the pattern. This is it. God says, preach. He told the disciples, go into all the world and do what? Preach. And that's it. And we're not going to cease from doing that, although it does not bring in the crowd. We're not going to remove the offense to attract numbers. Not going to do it. We're not going to bait or bribe or trick people into coming. We don't want those people. We want whom the Lord sends. And there'll be a blessing, not a curse. That's right. We're going to call on the Lord, though. That's what we're going to do. We'll call on the Lord. Lord, call out your sheep. Give us a son. Hannah wanted a son. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're going to wait on the Lord. What we're going to do. Hannah wanted a child. But what did she do first? What was she doing all this time? That's right, Daniel. She was worshiping the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Year by year, verse 7 says, year by year she went up with her husband, worshiping the Lord with her husband. Seek ye first. And I thought about this. You know, if we forsake all for Christ, Christ has promised Himself and all these things besides. But if we forsake Christ for whatever. We'll lose both. We'll lose Christ and these things. So verse 10, it says that, verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh, after they'd drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She prayed importunately. That means she continually prayed. Verse 12 says she continued praying, multiplied praying. She kept praying and praying and praying. She was going to ask until she got an answer. That's the way to pray. Pray without ceasing. And she vowed a vow, verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed, if thou wilt, notice her prayer. Notice the tenor of her prayer. It's something she wanted, yet she preceded it with these words. If thou wilt. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me. Does that sound familiar? And not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give, if thou wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, a son, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, this is her vow. If thou wilt, then I will. This is a good vow. The Lord honored this vow. And this is one that all of us should make concerning all things. You know that? Can we ask the Lord for certain things? Can we ask the Lord for particular things? Lord, I need a job. Something wrong with that? Well, certainly not. Can we ask the Lord for certain things? Certainly. Philippians says that, doesn't it? In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto God. He's your Father. You can ask your Father anything. You can ask Him for anything. But always precede it. Always precede it with these words. If thou wilt. This is what John writes much of in his epistles. If we pray anything, ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. And we have the things we ask of Him. According to His will. If thou wilt. And if He doesn't give it to us, we know it's not His will. If thou wilt give. And then she makes this promise. And it's not a boastful promise at all. It's not a presumptuous promise at all, is it? This is a great promise. I wish we would do this about everything. Don't you? I wish I could do this about everything. Lord, if you do this for me, I will give it right back to you. Lord, if you give me this, I'm giving it back. Whether or not we do that depends on the grace of God, but it sure is a good thought, isn't it? She did it. Oh, did the Lord honor that? I'll give it back. Always, though, we say, nevertheless, not thy my will, but thy will be done. Verse 12 and 13, it came to pass, Eli. She continued praying, and Eli marked her mouth. You know, the Lord heard her heart. Man marks the mouth. God hears the heart, as you've heard quoted so many times. Better to have words, a heart without words, than words without heart. God hears the heart. Man marks the mouth. That's all man marks. Religion is very vocal, isn't it? Very vocal. Very loud, isn't it? Irene. Religion. Real loud. God's not listening. But he said to his people, be still.
You just read that, Roy Baldwin. They will be still, praising God. Isn't that what that said, John, in Psalm 84? They will be still, praising God.
God's listening to the heart. The Lord's children are seen by Him, but they're not always heard. And I kind of like that old saying, don't you? Children are to be seen, but not heard.
Ah, boy. Well, she first cries unto the Lord, doesn't she? She goes to Him first and foremost and always and continually. She continually pours out her heart unto the Lord. But then she tells Eli. This is God's man, God's servant, a man that God put in the temple there for that purpose. Verses 14 through 16. Eli said unto her, though, but he was mistaken. He thought she was drunk. Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I'm not drunk. Neither wine nor strong drink. I've poured out my soul. I haven't poured out any drink but my soul before the Lord. Don't count me a daughter of Belial. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken. So she cries unto the Lord, and she's sorrowful of heart, and she speaks to this servant of God, and the Lord hears her. And the next thing that she, this sorrowful, blessed are they that mourn, be comforted. She's going to hear a message of peace. She wept sore. Weeping may endure for a night, but you have God's word on it. Can you believe this, Hannah? I'm talking to all of you. Your name's Hannah. Favorite. Joy cometh in the morning. Now Eli answered and said, go in peace. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And a burden was lifted. Now, who can speak peace but Christ? Huh? Old Eli here, and only here, represents Christ, the great high priest. He said, come unto me. Oh, ye that labor and heavy labor, I'll give you rest. I didn't plan this. This is the way it came out. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Peace I leave with you. Peace. Eli represents Christ, whom the Father hath given all things to give out as He will. Eli said, the Lord's going to grant you your petition. And only Christ can say that, can He? And upon asking for grace, oh, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. The woman went her way and ate, and no more sad. Her countenance changed. Upon asking for grace, she heard the message of peace, and now she's content. What's wrong? What happened? She have a baby? Not yet. Not yet. She just has peace, though. Peace. See, this peace comes when you know it's the Lord. It's the Lord. That this peace only comes when you know. It's the Lord. It's Him. Eli, later on, loses both his sons. What's he say? Where's he going to find peace? What's he say? It's the Lord. David, when he lost all his children and his wives, they were taken captive. He didn't know if they were dead or alive. What did he say? It's the Lord. He comforted himself in his Lord, it says. Lord God. So she was no more sad. All with the Lord. Verse 19. And so they rose up. So what'd she do? What'd she do? She went and worshiped. She's always doing this, isn't she? What else is there to do? What else can a believer do? This is a believer's life. She went and worshiped. She rose up. and worships before the Lord. And returned, that is, went home, came to their house, Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. They came together, and the Lord remembered. The Lord remembered. It came to pass, the time was come about, Hannah had conceived. She bare a son, and called his name Samuel. It's a good name. El. Every time you see E-L on the end of a name, it's the Lord's name. El. Elohim. Samuel. Means asked of the Lord. Asked of the Lord. Hannah, can I talk to you just a second? Did you ask the Lord for a good husband, a believing husband at one time? Did He give you one? What's his name? I'm so glad these two are married. That just fits this type perfectly. asked of the Lord. You know, I happen to believe that one Samuel's worth 100 church members. I'll take one of those to many of these others. Samuel, asked of the Lord. Well, what'd she do? And then, you know, those favored by God will receive what they ask of God. That's what John said. What did she ask? Look on my affliction. Remember me, if thou wilt. And look at verse 21 and 22. And Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. She said to her husband, I won't go up until the child be weaned. Then I'll bring him up that he may appear before the Lord and abide forever. Now, that's not presumption. That's faith. But that reminds me of when the Lord... Remember, Elkanah represents the Lord himself and Hannah, his wife, the church. And the Lord literally told his children when he came back after rising, he said, you go to Jerusalem and tarry. You stay there till I come back for you. Until it's time. And we're all going to go up together and be there forever. Oh, boy. God's Word is so perfect. Let's just read to the end of it. And when she had weaned, verse 23, Elkanah says, the Lord established His word. He was a good man, wasn't he, Stan? So she abode where she was, gave her son suck until she had weaned. You wives, you mothers, be faithful where you're at with your children. Do what you can. Bring them to hear the word. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her. 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, a bottle of wine. Brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Child was young. Most commentators believe this young fella, Samuel, was about 4 years old. Can you imagine? And she dropped him off. She dropped him off. Did the Lord honor that? She had 5 more children. 5 more children, Hannah. 5 more children. Oh boy. 3 more sons, 2 daughters. 4 years old. But he was an extraordinary boy, that's the reason. And that's not unscriptural. There were several throughout the scriptures, Samuel being one of them. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign over Israel. Israel's king was 8 years old. Josiah. Who's 8 years old in our congregation? Which one of our children? We have one? About Isaac Williams' age. Just a little older than Isaac. How old is Isaac? Huh? 10? Just a little younger than Isaac. Reigning over Israel. Is it possible? But yeah. John had the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He was an extraordinary son. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's good that a young man bear the yoke in his youth, Scripture said.
Can the Lord save our children at a young age? Why? Most certainly. 4 years old.
Oh, all things are possible. With man, it's impossible. With the Lord, all things are possible. She returned to Shiloh. She'd weaned the child, took him up to Shiloh. That's where the Prince of Peace is. They slew a bullock, brought the child to Eli. Verse 26 said, "Oh, my Lord." I can hear her tone now. It's different than the first time. "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord." And I love what the margin says here. If you have it, it says, "He returned him whom I have obtained by petition. Whom I have obtained by petition shall be returned." The Lord loaned him to me, and I give him it back. And he worshiped the Lord. Same. The boy worshiped the Lord. And boy, this story just gets better. Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll look at Hannah's prayer. And it's a good one. A woman prays one of the greatest prayers in Scripture. And it doesn't say if it was out loud, but we have it. Okay, stand with me. Our Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your word, and most especially, highly favoring us. We all feel like Hannah of old, that we are highly favored among women. We are thy bride, thy wife, of thy choosing, and thou art truly worth more to us than many others. We thank you, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, for an increase in thy kingdom. You've told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Lord, call out your sheep. Bless this church for the preaching of the gospel, and may call out your sheep in this place to the glory of thy sovereign saving grace. And we will rejoice. But thank you for those that thou hast given us. Thank you for the Samuels that you've given us, and the Hannahs. And Lord, bless your word. Let not the fowls of the air take it away, or the thorns choke it. Thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.